Did you start on saxophone? Was that your instrument the whole time?
Yeah, I started on saxophone. I wanted to play the piano as a child, but wasn't permitted to. We had a piano in the house, and my mother would literally lock the piano,
Oh, really?
so I couldn't get to it. Yeah.
Wow. And so, but I know you play the tambourine. We've been on the gigs and stuff.
Yeah, that really, I guess that would be the first instrument because I grew up in a Pentecostal church and there was a lot of tambourines in the church. And that was the one instrument I could put in my hands when it wasn't taken away from me. And I actually take tambourine playing very seriously. I actually do.
Yeah, I've seen that. And it must be a, so it must have been a very, it must be associated with something powerful then, if it was.
Well, I think whatever musical ability or instinct that I had, it all got directed to the tambourine because that was the only thing I was allowed to play.
How old were you when you started becoming aware of that or aware of music?
Four.
Four. You remember when you were
I
four.
remember it clearly.
And what was it in music? What were you, what was the change? What was the, what did you suddenly see? What was the
Well, when I was four, for my fourth Christmas, one of the toys I got was this organ that for children that had on the, I think it was on the left side of the keyboard, it had these buttons for playing the chords, and then it had 2.5 octaves of keys, and it had a little instruction book, and I don't remember anything else I got that Christmas. I remember that toy, and I went right to it and was playing it pretty well within a couple of days,
Really?
just figuring out, because it will tell you what to do. You press this button and this is B flat and you play these notes. And I figured it out really quickly and was playing it within weeks. And so my mother took it from me.
Because you had worked it out.
Took it. I never saw it again. Just one day it disappeared. I mean, this was within weeks after I had it.
Wow. So this must have been what, because this noise was bothering her, or
No, I think it's a lot more deep-rooted than that. I just think that my parents thought that this was just a toy and I wasn't going to be obsessed with music, which is something that neither of them wanted me to do. And apparently I was obsessed with music. I
early on.
had it early and I got to it right away. So the organ was taken away and the piano was locked. So.
Interesting. And so and then and when did you first become aware of saxophone?
That was later. The piano, obviously, because there was one in the house, there were pianos in the churches we were going to and organs. So I saw that. My mother was a piano player.
Oh.
She was a piano player. The reason there was a piano in the house was because she played, and she played in churches, weddings, funerals, services, different things. And so I was around the keyboard quite a bit. I didn't really figure out what a saxophone was until maybe 10 years after that time.
14 or 15.
Yeah, I was obviously in high school, and three other guys and myself started a radio station at our high school, an actual broadcasting station. Excuse me, we hustled different pieces of equipment from the professional radio stations around the city, and we got this little transmitter. It was completely illegal. We found it, got a frequency that wasn't being used on AM, and we were actually broadcasting from a basement of the high school to not a great area region, but certainly outside of the neighborhood of the school, our signal would reach.
Where was that?
This was in Connecticut.
Connecticut.
Yeah, Bridgeport. And so I was one of the founders of the radio station, and therefore was on the air a lot. And so I was playing all these different records, and this is when I started to hear the saxophone and feel there was some affinity for it.
Did what kind of records were you? Were you playing Rosa records you were playing on
Yeah,
there?
we were playing records like we were playing James Brown's records and So of course, there's saxophone solos in that, and Tower of Power. There was a song that came out by Carole King. It's Too Late, Baby, Now It's Too Late. And it was a soprano solo in that. And Chicago had a song that had a soprano solo in it. So not only was I getting to understand what the saxophone was, but I was starting to hear the voice that I really liked, which was the soprano. And those two songs had a lot to do with me some years later getting a soprano saxophone.
And so was soprano, that was the first thing, the first one you played?
Well, that was the first one I played. Wasn't the first thing I heard, but it was, I gravitated toward it as time went on and I began to be able to designate the sound of one from another.
So when did you actually get your hands on a saxophone?
Oh, I was 19 and a half.
19 and a half, so after high school.
It was after high school, after I moved out of the family house and was working jobs, two full-time jobs, and whenever I had time off, I used to either go up to Boston or across to New York City, because I was only a little more than an hour away from Manhattan. So I could go and hear music, and I took advantage of it. I went and heard a lot of music, a lot of well-known artists, and I would go up to Boston and hang around. There was a girl up there that I knew, and so I'd go up there and would listen to music up there as well.
So kind of Boston and there, and then you got, you managed to get a saxophone, and then were the, what kind of, what were the live music situation, things that you were exposed to?
Well, being in New York, as much as I was, I got to see the legends, you know, Charles Mingus with George Adams in the band, and and got to talk to these guys, Stan Getz, McCoy Tyner, just seen a lot of the very well-known, established artists.
Jazz artists. So this is amazing, because you were, before you were Tower Power, James Brown, and I'm not saying there's a big split difference, but you know, but that's interesting.
I was seeing Tower of Power too. In fact, every time they played, I was there. But I didn't have any, designation that this music is better than another. Either I liked it or I didn't.
Yeah.
The same time I was going to those kind of concerts, I was going to see Blue Oyster Cult and Rod Stewart. I mean, I was going to see everything. I saw a concert with Earth, Wind & Fire and Weather Report open for them. So they were putting together really interesting concerts back at that time, too. So I was hearing everything. And another thing that happened in Bridgeport, where I was born, was that there were a number of ethnic restaurants due to the fact that Bridgeport was a very busy industrial city. It had a lot of war material plants there. They were building helicopters, Sikorsky aircraft. Remington Arms was the big gun manufacturer, the ball bearing plants. It was a major General Electric plant was right there. So there was a lot of people that immigrated to Bridgeport because there were jobs. And a lot of these people would end up congregating in certain neighborhoods. Hungarians would live in one place, Polish would live in another, Armenians. There's all these different ethnic groups. And they would have restaurants featuring their native dishes and the music. And so while all this is going on, where I'm listening to McCoy Tyner one week and I'm going to see the Doobie Brothers the next week, I would go to these little restaurants where they would actually have live musicians playing. And I heard all of that and was fascinated by it. And a lot of those people were fascinated by me because I would often be the only black person around, and I was a kid. And they wanted to know why I was coming around, and said, I find this music interesting, and the food and the way they dressed. So they started inviting me into their homes. I would go to their homes and eat, you know, became part of their little extended family.
Wonderful. So, and when you were meeting the musicians that you were meeting, what were the kind of questions in your mind? What were you talking about with them? I mean, essentially, you've mentioned some of the most I would say stylized. Got people that have invented style. Mm-hmm. I mean, voices. What was on your mind when you were talking to the musicians?
I can't remember exactly what kind of questions I was asking, but I know I didn't run any of them away.
Uh-huh.
I knew better than to come on strictly as a teeny bopper hero worship kind of mm-hmm. situation. I knew that wasn't. Just by instinct, I knew that wasn't going to keep their attention very long. Because when I would talk to these people, they would actually talk. They would spend time and talk mm-hmm. with me. I don't remember much about what I asked anymore, with the exception of Grover Washington Jr., which was very instrumental. In fact, literally the week after, a couple of days after I met him and spent time with him, I was at the pawn shop buying a horn.
So that's when it started, right then?
That was the point where there was a CTI Jazz Festival in 1976
mm-hmm.
held in Central Park. And you had all the big CTI artists for over 2 days. And I've told the story before. I took my vacation from work that week so that I could be there for that and then some things happening in the city during the week. And I was sitting in this little grassy area with trees and a very idyllic kind of a scenario. And this little beat-up red Toyota was driving along the sidewalk mm-hmm. where I was sitting. And it stopped in front of me. And the two people in the car, Hank Crawford was driving the car. And Grover Washington was the passenger. And I think they thought I worked for the festival.
Yeah.
Because they asked me, did I know where the stage was? And I did. I said, well, if I get in the car with you, I can direct you to the stage. So I gathered my things, got in the car, and I had a tape recorder with me that I was actually playing tapes while I was waiting for other concerts. Excuse me. So I immediately pressed record. I said, because my friends will never believe this.
Uh-huh.
And I directed them to the stage, and before you know it, I was hanging with these guys.
Wow.
I was 19 years old and couldn't believe my luck.
Uh-huh.
And they took great care of me. They figured out pretty quickly that I didn't have anything to do with the festival.
Mm-hmm.
And that I was there to, excuse me, to hear them and to just enjoy the weekend. So Grover started introducing me around to all the different musicians. There were Joe Farrell was playing, Ron wow. Carter, just numerous people were there that he introduced me to.
Uh-huh. And what so you got the horn. Did they start showing you things that were about music, or were most of your discussions about extra musical things or about the life?
It was a combination of all of that. And like I said, definitely the pinpoint of it all was with Grover Washington, because I was meeting all these people before, and I can't remember exactly what I asked them, except that they didn't just run away from me like, oh, this little kid, mm-hmm. he doesn't know anything. Obviously, I didn't know anything, but I wanted to know, and it seemed like they were interested enough in me to talk to me. With Grover, because I spent a lot of time backstage there, and he was talking, and we were just me being a young man and him being a slightly older man than myself, we just talked about everything. And I did tell him that I was seriously interested in music and that I seriously was interested in learning the saxophone. And he did follow through. Mm-hmm. He told me, he says, well, if you get a horn, let me know. Send me a letter. Let me know that you got one. He says, I can't help you out and teaching or anything. He said, I'm too busy, but I can definitely, you know, steer you in the right direction. So I wrote the letter, and sure enough, he wrote me back. Mm-hmm. And he recommended a group of books I needed to get, told me some artists to listen to that he thought would, you know, be beneficial to my development. And he told me to keep him informed.
What were those books and artists?
The books... he told me to get the Berkeley series of saxophone studies. He told me to get Oliver Nelson's patterns for improvisation.
Classics.
Yeah. And there was a book by... I can't recall the guy's name. It was one of the guys who was in Boston other than Joe Viola who did the Berkeley series. And I couldn't find the book. That's probably why I can't remember the name of it now. And then he said, well, definitely listen to Coltrane and Miles and Stanley Turrentine, Joe Henderson. These are the people he recommended. And I already was listening to them. I already had records by those people. And when I wasn't at work, that's all was going on in my little apartment was playing those records. Mm-hmm. So I was already there.